Welcome to Today's Voices, a daily digest from Native America Calling. I'm your host, Sean Spruce. Typhoon Murbach swept buildings, boats, trees, and tons of trash into the sea off the west coast of Alaska in 2022. That marine debris is a safety hazard and an ecological threat for the residents of Chivac, many of whom depend on their connection to the sea for their livelihoods and subsistence hunting and fishing. Among them is Richard Tuluk. He is Kupik and the Chivac project manager. He and other Alaska Native residents are helping clean up the remnants of the typhoon and other debris.
It created a lot of havoc in our area. With the debris, there's usually driftwood that comes out of the Yukon, and then every year during springtime, that's how those driftwoods become a hazard to our area. When that Murbach storm hit us, it brought a lot of driftwood debris. And then in the local area, and there we have fish camps about further down from where we usually have our fish camps in summertime, and we usually have cabins and our sets there, our fish racks and everything. People that have their fish camps, all of those structures were washed up towards our area. A lot of debris from those areas and a lot of debris of wood drift. So that posed a lot of hazard to our area.
The cleanup project in Chivac is funded through federal grants. A similar grant goes for marine debris cleanup on the other side of the state in southeast Alaska, where Jackie Foss and her husband are commercial fishermen. She works with Alaska Sea Grant and the Alaska Center for Marine Debris. Foss says she finds trash and old fishing gear in some of the most remote places.
We didn't really have a great idea of how much was there until we actually started going onshore this last summer. We know that as fishermen, we are deeply reliant on healthy fish stocks, and healthy fish stocks require healthy habitat. So it's part of our values and the way a lot of people around me operate that in order to have fishermen, you need fish. In order to have healthy fish, you need healthy habitat. So maintaining and stewarding the environment that we use to make our living is a pretty natural part of the work for us. So it was really amazing to go onshore and see chunks of line, bits of net, but also just the volume of plastic bottles. I was blown away. No matter how small the beach is, how small the little storm surge area, there is always some piece of plastic trash. It felt really good to get rid of that, but also my heart sank thinking how much of it is out there.
Foss fishes mainly for salmon and says marine debris harms ecosystems at every level of salmon development. Further away on the Pacific Ocean, Grant Kaehukai-Goin also works to clean debris from the water and shorelines of sacred islands of northwestern Hawaii. Goin is Kanaka O'Ivi and a cultural specialist and lead technician for the Papahāno Moku Akia Marine Debris Project. Goin says his crews recovered more than 1 million pounds of marine debris last season.
We find a lot of derelict fishing gear, mainly purseine nets or longline fishery type stuff. But at the end of the day, the most detrimental thing is that all of these derelict fishing gear, floats, plastic bottles, one-time use plastics, they're all plastic derived, right? So it's essentially the perfect enemy, right? While it is useful for humans, it never really breaks down or goes away. And for these nets that we deal with, you know, it has one job, right? To catch fish and, you know, lost or abandoned, they continue to do their job. And eventually they end up on top of a lot of critical habitats. So our reefs, which help to promote fish life and other organisms that keeps our system sustaining itself. So with that being said, a lot of that procreation is being cut off because of these nets and other derelict fishing gear and whatnot.
Goin says cleaning up the debris has caused him to reassess his use of commercial products, especially plastic objects that are used one time and then thrown away. I'm Sean Spruce, and this is Today's Voices.